Thank God. The Lord is so good. Not taking a text. Dr. Lakin used to say, most preachers take a text to preach from, and usually the longer they preach, the farther from it they get. I'll just pick up with his theme. Why did God do that for David? What was different about David? Why did God allow David to do the things he did? Why did God choose him and anoint him king over all of his brothers? Why did God use a shepherd boy? Why did God reject Saul? If you read David's life, David was guilty of what we would consider far worse sins than Saul. David was guilty of shed blood and guilty of adultery and guilty of lying. Guilty of so many things, but yet God seemed to have a special passion in his heart for David. What was different about David? That a boy could face someone like that. A lad come to a giant and meet him and face him. What made him different? You see, there's certain figures in the Bible that God has left those figures there because they embody something that God wants to teach us. Something that's greater than all their faults and all of their failures and all of their sin. And when you look at the life of David, you'll find out that everything associated with David was successful because David, from the time he was a boy until the time he died, his heart was filled with praise. He embodied praise. He understood praise. Yes, he'd do terrible things, but he was wise enough to know that he should repent of those things and say, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be made clean. Wash me and I shall be made whiter than snow." He could say in psalm after psalm how he praised the Lord. In fact, the psalms tell us that David began by praising God three times a day. Then you'll read in the Psalms that David praised God seven times a day. And finally, David got to the place where he said, "His praise was continually in my mouth." If there's anything that has destroyed the church world across this nation and around the world today, the church community has been devastated by a loss of praise. When the church loses praise, we lose our identity. In the Bible, there were 12 tribes. The largest of those tribes was the tribe of Judah. Every time they went to war, the tribe of Judah led the way. Every time they would camp, the largest portion of land was given to the tribe of Judah. All of you preachers here, if you will, tell me what the name Judah means. Praise. I guess some of you knew that already. Judah means praise. Do you think it's ironic that the largest tribe was named Praise? God said the biggest tribe was the Praise tribe. The biggest crowd was the Praise crowd. Then there was the tribe of Dan that was the second largest tribe. You'll read where the tribe of Dan was always put on the back. Any time that they marched through certain areas, if they felt like that the weak or maybe the elderly were in danger, they put the tribe of Dan to the rear. Because Dan was to follow Judah. Start with praise, and the second largest was to wind up with praise. But you'll read in the book of Judges chapter 18 where something happened to the tribe of Dan in that book. They went down to a place called Laish. And there they came across a man that was worshiping a false idol. And they followed the spirit of the Zidonians. And the Bible said the spirit of the Zidonians was quiet and secure. And they got there and got that old bad spirit in them. The quiet and secure spirit. That spirit that 80% or 90% of you have. Because when I'm done, if God helps me, I'm going to try to tell you what real praise is.
they got that nature about them that they thought that as long as they had something, a false idol, a teraphim, if you will, if they had something, a false priest, that would make them feel good about themselves just every now and then. As long as the country artists can sing a gospel song just one time in their set and maybe feel a goosebump somewhere, they forget about the God that they had forsaken and that they sold out when they were little kids and learned how to sing in somebody's church. And they'll sing a gospel song to a drunken crowd. I feel preaching coming on now. And they may shed a tear, and folks will say, "Whoo, I felt the presence of God there." That wasn't the presence of God. That was the spirit of the Zidonians. Quiet and secure. Am I the only preacher in this place that's tired of preaching at dead churches? Or tired of going to churches to see revival come, to get them stirred up, and then by the time you get back next year, you've got to pray for resurrection power again? I was in a church here a while back preaching, and I told in the middle of the message, I said, "Why, you all, I think I'll go out there to your cemetery and preach. I can get more amens out there than I can get inside the four walls." We've grown so far from praise. We've gotten so distant, so quiet and secure. Heard an old preacher say he was preaching, and a man passed out in the service. By the time the emergency squad got there, they were looking for the fellow they thought was dead, and they went to five wrong people before they finally found the one that had really passed out. Let me tell you, folks, we're so afraid of being labeled fanatical and crazy and wild that we've almost let praise take the back seat. But you'll read in the book of Revelation where you'll not read anything about the tribe of Dan. Dan was gone. Their name's not mentioned. They are called the lost tribe. Do you know why? They lost their praise to the living God. Now hold on. Praise is not what we do. In other words, you don't base your praise on a stimulus, an outside force, or a happening. A lot of people confuse happiness with praise. When something goes on, they get a pay raise, they go to church and they praise God. Well, you're not going to get pay raise every week. Or they get a good doctor's report and they go to church and they praise God. Everyone doesn't get a good doctor's report. Well, they have a new grandbaby and they go to church and they praise God. Boy, I'm getting a little lonely up here now. It's based on happenings. Something's got to happen to make me feel good. I mean, if the preacher preaches me happy, I'll praise God. If the singers sing me happy, I'll praise God. If the air conditioning is set just right and the sound's just right, I might think about praising God. If somebody shakes me real good and rattles me and a little spills over, I might feel like praising God. That is not what praise is all about. Praise is not what we do. Praise is who we are. That's why he picked Judah. That was their identity. Everywhere they went, when people heard their name, they thought of praise. And that's why he picked David. David in the Bible is always a picture or a type of praise. He's constantly praising the Lord. He dedicated psalms. They go through five psalms on their ascent to the holy city. And they quote those songs that he had written on each level. He was the sweet songster of Israel. He praised God with harp. He praised God with sling. He praised God when he was able to slay the giant, slay the bear, and slay the lion. But also during the down times, when everything else was against him, he still praised God. He knew that without God and without praise to God, nothing would happen. So he faced the giant. Where Brian left you. Let me take you to the next step of this story.
He faced the giant and he was told, when they came, he said to his brother, "What's going on?" That giant come out every day and said, "Send me a man that I may fight." You know it, don't you? "Send me a man that I may fight." Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of people today that fit right into that. They love to fight. Help me, Lord. They do. They love to fight. Some people don't feel like they've been to church if they don't get into two or three good fights. Some of you split up more churches, busted up more lives, and tore up more homes. You just love a good fight. Well, you can't get along with your neighbor. Jacob's with me anyway. I'm all right. He said, Brian mentioned it. He said, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "Just give us a reason to whoop him. Give me one reason to take him on." He defeated the giant. You know the story. They said, well, whoever defeats the giant, they get their house free. They get the resources from the king. And they get to marry the king's daughter. He defeated the giant. And I don't read where he was interested in the house. I don't read where he was interested in the resources. But he wanted the woman. That's a fact. And Saul is there with his daughters, and by the time David gets there, it's time to give his daughter away. And he's got a problem. See, the daughter that was allocated to wed, set aside to wed the one that defeated the giant, her name was Merab. And when Merab saw David, to put it bluntly, she said, "David, we got a problem. I love Adriel. I don't want you. I'd just as soon not marry you." Now that's always been amazing to me. She was a child of a king, and if David embodies praise, I've never understood a child of a king that don't even want to date praise. I mean, she ought to have at least wanted to hold his hand. At the very least, she should have at least wanted to kiss him just to see if he's a good kisser or not. Oh, bless God. There's some of you that I don't mean to pick on you, but I'm telling you the truth. I don't understand why you don't even want to date praise. I don't understand a child of a king that don't even want to be around praise. I don't understand somebody that says they're a blood-bought child of God that gets nervous when folks start shouting and praising God and saying, "I don't want anything to do with any of that." I just don't understand that crowd. I mean, you ought to at least want to hold the hand of the one that saved your soul. You at least ought to want to take the darling son and give him a hug. She said, "I'd rather have Adriel." Adriel's a picture of the world. Some people love the world so much, that's why they can't love praise. They love baseball more than they love God. I'm trying, Ricky. They do. You all know, every preacher in here knows, the greatest battle we face today is the battle of commitment. It's because the church has fallen in love with the world more than they've fallen in love with praising God. There's folks all across this country that'll say, "You all, down here right now, every one of you, you're crazy. You've lost your mind. You spend your hard-earned money to go all the way to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, to rent a hotel room, to come down inside of a big auditorium to sit with a lot of people you don't even know. Why in the world are you doing that?" I tell you why. Because some of you know there's nobody here going to make fun of you. It's all right if you get up and wave your hand to glory. There's nobody going to escort you out the door. Nobody's going to say, "It's time to leave now. You come down here." Nobody knows what's going on except you and God. You ought to just go ahead and praise Him and say, "Thank God, I've got someone bigger than all the world, and I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what. I'll praise God anyway." Thank God. Old timers love to praise. Go ahead, Brother Hahn. Have yourself a time.
What are you staring at? Help him out. Help him out. Don't you love God? Hadn't God done anything good for you? Hadn't God blessed your soul? Well, glory! We ought to praise God. Bless you, brother. Well, glory! Glory! Glory!
I don't care! I'm preaching for the Lord!
Well, glory! Glory!
I told him at the home church here a few days ago, if you don't have anything else to praise God for, praise God, I'm not your pastor. Told him at the home church the other day, one of the schools there in the area, they schedule their ball games. They got 8 ball games scheduled on Wednesday night. And I said, that don't bother me none. I expect the world to act like that. What does bother me is parents that won't go to the coach and say, why don't you change that? I'm not talking about being mean or ugly and threatening them. I'm just saying, why don't you just go to them and say, I'm a born-again child of God. And that's the night I'm teaching my kids. Because they're going to be somebody's church one of these days. Somebody's going to be their pastor. You're going to want them to be a church leader. I don't know about you, but I don't want a bunch of people in the church that don't come to prayer meeting on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and stay for Sunday school to come to revival. I don't want a bunch of folks that just come when they feel like it. Because praise is not what we do, it's who we are. Oh, thank God. Michael looked at him. Michael said, Dad, I've got the answer to your problem. We harp on Michael a lot, but I'm telling you exactly, word for word, what the Bible says. When she saw David, she loved him. I'm looking for a crowd that loves praise. I'm looking for people that love to praise God. See, that's how I was raised. I was raised with parents that they loved to praise God. They loved to see revival come. They loved to be in services where folks got blessed. Even if they weren't well in body, they loved seeing getting somebody else getting blessed. They just loved to see God doing things in people's lives. And when God blessed somebody, it blessed them. Didn't matter if they had it or didn't have it. Didn't matter if they got the same thing or not. When one of God's children were blessed, they were blessed. Mike, you know you were raised that way. Your daddy was here tonight, wheelchair or not, he'd already been all over this place. Because he loves to praise God. See, Dr. Kermeen's back there, I believe, saw him when I come in. He used to have a dear old saint of God in his church, Granny Jenkins. Am I telling the truth about it, Jim? I remember one time I walked in the grocery store and she was on the other end of the aisle and she saw me on the other end of the aisle with her arms full of groceries. And when she saw me, she dropped everything in her arms. It hit the floor and went everywhere. And down the aisle she came, shouting and praising God. And she said, I was just asking God for somebody to come along so that I could tell them today how good that God has been to me. And she'd shout and carry on. You didn't want to sit near her. Some of you couldn't have stood it. Because she'd smack your jaws and she'd twist your ears and she'd shout. But oh, Jimmy, I remember going to Jamaica. You remember it well. Duncan family, we'd go work all day. She'd stay in the hotel all day long, take all of her energy to go to church at night, and she'd pray and pray and pray and pray. And we'd get to church that night, we'd be dragging, and Granny would be there shouting, jumping up and down, praising God, giving everything she had inside of her to praise the Lord. I'm telling you, we need some folks that love praise. She loved praise. Next thing you know, she fell in love with him so much that her daddy, Saul, got jealous of David. Said, I'm going to kill him. David's a picture of what? Praise. Saul said, I'm going to kill praise. That's what I'm going to do. Threw a javelin at him and missed him. Said, if I can't kill him, I've got somebody that can. So he called on some men and said, I want you to go and wait all night long. When the sun comes up in the morning, I want praise dead before the sun rises in the morning. But Michael, it's now nighttime. She goes over and finds David. Wakes him up. Said, they're going to kill you come morning. Said, I've opened the window and I've got a way of escape. Because I love you. She woke him up in the middle of the night and opened the window to let him out. Said, because when the sun comes up tomorrow, I want you to be alive. Oh, glory, glory. I want to tell you, praise is not what we do, it's who we are. And sometimes in the darkness of night, when the devil breathes down the back of your neck and says you've not done anything and there's no reason to praise God, and why do you love the Lord and why do you serve God and why do you go through these things, do you know what you have to do? You have to reach over and wake up praise and say, I'm going to open up the window. Well, thank God. And I'm going to let praise get out. Because come tomorrow, when the sun comes up tomorrow, Lord, I'm still going to be praising you. Yes, it's dark right now. Yes, nightness has come and darkness has come. But in the morning, Lord, praise will still be alive. The sun will come up again. And I'm going to praise you, God. I hear folks talk about not being able to praise God when the least little thing. I mean, everything's got to be perfect for them. Everything's got to be just right. But you know what? When you really love praise, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're just glad that you can wake praise up every now and then. That's what I pray happens in this camp meeting this week. See, some of you, I haven't seen you shout in a few years. I'd kind of like to see you wake up praise tonight. Now, I'm not talking about something. Can I preach to you from the heart? Just about 10 more minutes. I'm not talking about something that's just made up. I'm talking about something that's real. My mama, my sisters are here tonight. I'm sure they won't mind me telling some of this. Some of it, you know, bits and pieces. And mom was in the hospital 22 days, Ronald. 22 days she battled, and that was her second bout in the hospital this year. When I was down at Florida to preach in the camp meeting, I got ready. She was in the hospital then. And when I left to go to the camp meeting, Mom was in the hospital and Candy had kidney stones. And I said, I'm going to call Rod, and there's all kinds of preachers down there. I'll call Rod, and he's my friend. He'll understand. And I'll call Rod and tell him I can't make it. And I went to see Mom in the hospital and I said, Mom, I'm just going to stay home. She said, no, you're not. She said, you're going to go and I'm going to pray for you every day. God will help you. So I come home and I told Candy, I said, honey, I can't leave you. And I don't know how in the world she did it. If any of you have had kidney stones, you know. But I'm telling you, she faked me out. Bless her heart, she faked me out. She acted like there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with her. She got me ready, packed me up, sent me off on an airplane to Tampa, Florida. When I landed in Florida, I called home. My son answered the phone. I said, how's your mom? Said, she's in the floor moaning and groaning. You want to hear? Passing kidney stones. I thought, oh my, I'm just going to get on the plane, turn around and go back. But I thought, well, Candy would be upset with me and Mom would be upset with me. I could handle Mom being upset with me because I didn't live with her. Candy feeds me. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I'm just praying and praying and kind of walking around thinking about what's going on. And isn't it something how you get in one red hot meeting? Somebody opens the window and lets praise out. Well, Mom went back in the hospital. 22 days she was there. We had to take her over to hospice. And she went through a lot of things. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details. But there's a few sweet things I want to tell you about. That, bless her heart, she had suffered so much. My mom was an old-time shouter. If my mom was in this service tonight, now I'm not exaggerating, and not because I'm her boy, but if you was ever in the church, a church that Dad pastored or held revivals and saw my mom get blessed, my mom shouted like nobody else. And I'm telling you, if we were in a crowd of 3,000 people and Mama shouted, I'd know her shout from everybody else's shout. And the whole time, Mom kept getting worse. And I was in a camp meeting in Mansfield, Ohio. And I went up to the camp meeting. It bothered me so much. I told Brian, I said, I'm going to have to go home and see Mom. And on Wednesday night, you preach for me, and I'll be back down on Thursday. So I went over Thursday morning, sat down to talk to Mom. And I talked to her for a little while, and I said, Mom, you look tired. Did you sleep any last night? She said, no, I didn't sleep any at all last night. And I said, well, what's wrong? Have you been in pain? She said, no, I didn't have any pain last night at all. She said, I just didn't sleep much last night. And I said, Mom, why didn't you sleep? She said, well, I don't want you to think I'm crazy. I said, Mom, I wouldn't think you're crazy. She said, I told Angie, your sister Angie, about it. She said, but I want to tell you. She said, all night long, she said, I talked to your daddy. All night long. Said he come to me and talked to me. And I said, Mom, what did Dad talk about? She said, all he talked about was heaven. Oh, Doris, wait until you see how pretty it is. And all of a sudden, her little old face lit up. And she said, I've tried and tried to remember. She said, it's just words that I can't even recall. It just seemed to flow out. And we just talked all night long. And she said, he looked over at me and said, Doris, you just wait until you see Jesus. She said, you've never seen anything like him. She said, where's he at, honey? He said, well, he's not with me right now, but when I come back, he said, you can go with us. I said, Mom, did he tell you anything else? He said, well, we talked about a lot of things, and the conversation led to one thing after another, and I can't even recall all of it, just bits and pieces of the Spirit gives me remembrance. But finally, I said, well, Mom, what did you say to him? He said, well, the first thing I told him, very first thing is I said, Calvin, Jimmy, that's my older brother, 18 months older than me, said, Jimmy got saved and going up to Mike Blanton's church. And she said, I already know that. Said, it's the most precious thing. Said, when they come indoors, said, they call the families of those that have gone on before around the throne. And they open a book and write their name inside. And when I got a call, I knew that one of my family had come in. Said, when they wrote down James Franklin Evans, said, I didn't start shouting. I've been shouting ever since I've been here. I've never gotten tired of shouting. Said, I don't know what it is, honey, but all I can do is just praise God. Said, constantly around the throne, there's people praising Him. And when it dies down, said, those 24 elders, they're saying, holy, 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 holy. And said, it just echoes through the hills of glory. Holy, 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 holy. I'm about to have a spell. Holy, holy, holy. Said, it just goes on and on and on. And she said, when I come to myself, said, I told him, said, Cal, said, right after the Lord called you, said, God blessed her home, said, Cal wrote a little article on it and said, God gave us beauty for ashes. Said, I didn't understand that in the beginning, said, but when God gave us McKenna, said, she's so pretty. Said, every time she comes in my room, she wants to fix my hair and kiss my face. That little old McKenna, she's here somewhere tonight. Where's she at? Little old McKenna, bless her heart. She's my prayer warrior. She's my buddy. When everything else dies at Rubyville, I can say, praise the Lord. Little old McKenna's hands will go right straight up in the air. She's our praise, baby. Somebody said she don't know what she's doing. That's my point. That's my point. I'm tired of us knowing what we're doing. Every now and then you've got to leave this world a little while. Get caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell God north and see things that are not lawful for a man to utter. She said, now, Cal, you get on out of here and you go preach. Boy, that I went preach that revival, came back, and finally, she wouldn't even let me leave. I had one funeral. She wouldn't even let me stay with her through the funeral. She made me go preach. She said, you go preach. I'll be here, but I'm glad my family's here tonight because they can testify. It was the sweetest thing I ever saw in my life. It was, Susie. That whole week, she'd get a glazed over look in her eyes, and she'd be looking all around. She'd be looking everywhere. Every one of us kids would come over and we'd take by the hand. Mom, you're looking for somebody? I'm looking for Calvin to come back. He said next time he comes, he's bringing Jesus with him. Said he was so excited. She said, I want to stay with you and the kids and the grandkids, but I just got to go. I can't help it. Boy, she kept going. One day, Mike, I can remember, I was there by her bedside, and when I was by her bedside, she flinched, and she turned real quick. And I said, what is it, Mom? She said, I thought somebody passed by. I said, he might be coming from over here, and I don't want to miss him. She looked everywhere. When he comes, I'm going to get to go with him. You know what we ought to be doing tonight? We ought to get a far away look in our eyes. Some of you have come down here with churches that have problems that's weighted you down and sickness in your body and trouble and heartache and sorrow. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to reach over and wake up praise and say, I need you tonight more than I've ever needed you. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let praise out. And when I let praise out, start looking and saying, you know, might just be tonight that he comes back to take us into the glories. Get our eyes fixed on another world. Lose sight of everything around us. That's exactly what we need to do. We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord. I look around here tonight. Some of you still haven't got it. You don't have to wait on God to do something to praise Him. He's done enough already. And if nothing else, shout on credit. The bank of glory is full. Well, glory, she's one of mine. There goes another one. Well, glory, somebody said, don't that embarrass you? Oh, no, that's what we need today. Well, glory, that's what we need today. God, to get a hold of us. Go ahead, Jacob. Have a running spell, buddy. Thank God. Thank God. Would somebody get on their feet and praise God for everything He's done, everything He's going to do. He's God. Beside Him, there's none other. Well, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord! Bless the Lord! Glory! 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 Go ahead and praise Him. Go ahead and praise Him. Look at you! Two good feet! Here goes a little fellow in a wheelchair, praising God. You still haven't even stood up.
Don't you see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in this place tonight? Oh, bless His name. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Glory. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And finally, let's praise Him.
Hail, glory. Hey, there's something wrong with you if the only time you can shout is when you sing or preach. God's good all the time. I'm not embarrassed of this. No, I'm not embarrassed of this crowd. I wish God would give us more old time prayer warriors that reach into the throne room of God. Well, glory. Bridal mama said to me, she said, "Boy, I'm going to miss you for a little while." You know, just that quick. We're all around her bedside and we're telling her goodbye. Just that quick, I leaned over and whispered in her ear. I said, "Mom, the only problem you're going to have is, see, I have days and nights here. And you don't have any nights in that city. But if you would, hang around the throne room a little while. Because every day I make a trip there." We'll meet inside the throne room. We've got a couple in our church. She's serving in Iraq. She's here in the States. And I told them, I said, set the time, the same time. I know there's a time difference, but figure out a time where you're both going to have a time, an opportunity that it correlates at the same time, and go to prayer together the same time every day. And you know what you can do? You can meet together in the throne room every day. It's okay. Go ahead and shout it out. And then my sister Pam, she called Pam over to her bedside. I was on the other side. She said, "Now, Pam, there's some things I want you to do." She said, "The first of the month rolled around. I hope I don't offend nobody by this, but I'll tell you why Mom praised the Lord." Said, "The first of the month rolled around now," and said, "That means it got paid again." She said, "You go over in the dresser drawer there," and said, "I've got a little bit of money put away." And she said, you promised me you'll pay my tithes." She said, "I don't want to support God's work. And your daddy supported God's work all these years. And I don't want to meet God not knowing that I've done my best." No wonder she shouted. No wonder she shouted. Every now and then you've got to wake praise up. "John Mink, God's been awful good to you." That's a hillbilly saying. Not awful bad, awful good. Well, glory, glory, glory. You tired yet? Now you know what it feels like to be a preacher. We get to stand up the whole time. I declare, I've never seen anything like it. Christians act worn out when they get to church. Just completely exhausted. They pack up and go to some restaurant and stand for 2.5 hours waiting to get a meal. Never complain at all. Get in a service that runs 10 minutes too long. You get in a spirit you won't know if you've been here 5 minutes, an hour, or 5 hours. I'm telling you, we ought to wake praise up. That Rubyville bunch, they ought to praise God. 130 saved last year in the church. They ought to praise God. Mike getting ready to build a new building. I know you got problems. You ought to praise God. Susan, you got 2 boys preaching. You ought to praise God. We
We got a right to praise God. They're like, God didn't have to keep that boy safe in the war, bring him home. God did that. We got a young fella. Well, God, I don't know where Zach at. Zach's running around here somewhere. Where you at, buddy? I can't see you. Shout. There you are, old Zach back there. Lord took him out last week ago Wednesday, wasn't it? Fell on the altar and said, God's called me to preach. You saw what God brought him from just a few months ago to where he is tonight. You ought to wake up praise. Got to wake it up every now and then. Am I the only one feeling righteous in here tonight? Well, glory. Lord, bless us tonight. Well, glory, 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 glory. Some of you getting nervous right now, aren't you? Lord, just turn us loose. I am sick to death of having me. Just turn us loose, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Stood by the bedside of a dear friend. She was making her crossing, went in a coma 2 or 3 days and woke up. Looked over at her family and she said, where'd that little girl go? What little girl, Mama? That little girl, she's been here the past 2 days. I said, well, what's she doing here? I said, I don't know. I said, I'm so weak from this cancer. I can't hardly pick myself up. And I couldn't dress myself. And she said that the Lord had sent her to help dress me. So I'm getting ready to go to a big celebration. You say, I don't believe in all that. I feel sorry for you. I've seen them get that far away look too many times now. Know that they've got a better place to go. My dear friend, I buried on Monday. Been lost. Cancer eat up his body. Oh, he was so sick going in and out of a coma. Came out of a coma a minute and called my name and they called me and I went to his bedside. Tried for an hour and a half. I stood by him. Brian was with me. Stood by him. Jeff was with me. Stood by him. He tried for an hour and a half to tell me something. Never could get the words out. Finding exhaustion. Went back into a light coma. Said a few hours later, I left there about 2:30, about 8:20. He raised up and looked all around, gave his wife a kiss, said one word, home. Laid his head down and went to sleep in Christ. By the way, 8:20, that was the date that he and his wife were married. Just a coincidence, I suppose. Don't believe a word of it, do you, Roger? Roger had a couple in his church. I heard Roger Lavender one time preaching a funeral and talked about a couple. They both were born on, I believe it was the 23rd. Got married on the 23rd. Kids' birthdays was on the 23rd. And on the 23rd, they went to be with the Lord. You call that coincidence if you want to. I say we serve a great big loving God that in the middle of the darkest night, we can reach over. Shake up praise and say, it's time to wake up. I need a little help. I need to be there come tomorrow to be able to praise you. Twenty and a half years later, David comes into the city. One of the only times you read where David got discouraged, he got homesick. God said, I didn't call you to pout, I called you to praise. Said, go get the ark and bring it home. David gathered them all together and did it the way God said to do it. Some things it's only going to work if you do it God's way. They come back into the city, Jerusalem, that same city where that skull was buried. See, he bought a threshing floor. Not just any threshing floor. Better read a little bit about Mount Moriah. What happened on the threshing floor and find the tie of it through the Word of God. He comes back in the city and he takes the ephod. That's the garment of the high priest. And he takes that ephod and he starts praising God. And he dances before the Lord with all his might. And Michael saw him. The same woman that loved praise. The same woman that woke praise up. When she saw him, the Bible says she was displeased with him. 20 and a half years has passed. I feel sorry for some of you. Some of you think you've been saved so long now you don't have to praise God no more. Some of you think you know everything there is in the book and therefore you're smarter than everybody else and you know more than everybody else. And things just won't operate without you. I got a revival one time and the old boy met me and you know, there's a reason why God gave us two of these and one of these. And the old boy, I could tell right away, he was a hero in his own mind. And he got to tell me how wonderful he was. How great he was. A lot of stuff can happen in 20 and a half years. Michael thought she could make it without praise. And he felt that same way. He looked at me and he said, "You know what? You know what our pastor had the nerve to do?" Said he booked you for revival, knowing that I had vacation this same week. And he said, "Now, Brother Evans," he said, "Now I don't mean to say that I'm important," he said, "but I will say this." He said, "My money built this church. My family, they're the founding members of this church." And I do this, and I do that. And boy, I just shut up. Give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. Finally, he got so proud of himself that he said, "You know, I just told that pastor, you better pray I get off. Because if I can't change my vacation, you just won't have revival without me being there." And I looked at him and I said, "Won't you stay home tomorrow night and let's find out." Now, you may not like what I have to say, but you understand it. And he said, "Pardon me." I said, "You arrogant, good for nothing." I said, "Stay home tomorrow night. Don't come." I've invited a lot of people to church. The first one I invited not to come. And I knew if he got mad enough, he wouldn't come back. He might want to kill me, but he wouldn't come back. The next night, when they realized he wasn't coming, because he already sent word by the pastor, "The evangelist goes or I go." They never mean it, fellas. They're cowards. They're cowards. You look at me and you listen to me. You go ahead and praise God anyway. If they all quit doing everything, he's still God. And the word of God's still true. And I appreciate everything everybody does. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't need me, and He doesn't need you to exist, and He doesn't need anybody else, but oh, we need God. We need God. We need the help of His Spirit. Got to church that night, I never saw such a change in all my life. They shouted, they ran the aisles, I preached 5 minutes. They like to tear the church down the next night, the same thing all over again. My, what a revival. People one night, 29 were saved in one night. They hadn't seen anybody saved in years. And the best part, I don't think I preached tonight. People started praising God. "Well, I've never been back for revival." He's still there and the pastor's gone. But I have seen people absolutely get to the place that they're miserable and despise praise. They hate it. They cannot stand it. God looked at her and said, "You're going to be fruitless. Barren. You'll have no children." I'm trying to say this as lovingly as I can. Growing churches that are not praising the true and living God will be fruitless churches. Real praise
drives out those that are not right with God. I'm in overtime, but I got to say this. Wanda, I hope I don't embarrass you. December the 3rd was one of the greatest days in my ministry. Bless your heart, honey. December the 3rd, my sister and brother-in-law run a project in the church there where we take all the foster kids in the county that don't have anyone to buy toys for them. And the church brings in toys for all those kids. And that was the deadline for them to bring in toys. And Wanda come up to me and she had her arms full of toys for her kid that they had bought these toys for. And it's about maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes before church. And I'm sitting on the platform. And Rogers, he's preached there for me a lot. He knows the altar's right in front of me there. She walked up on the other side of the altar, Roger, and she's crying uncontrollably. And she said, "I want you to pray for me." And immediately I get up and go toward her. Because I'm thinking she's got a terrible problem in her life. I think that they're going through a dilemma or a hard trial. And she looks at me and she said, "I'm absolutely 100% a hypocrite." And she said, "I want you to pray because I need to get saved." And just that quick, she turned around and walked out, Ronald. I'm spellbound. I'm sitting on that front seat saying, "Oh, Lord, she's come looking for something real." 5 minutes before church, she comes back. And she looks at me crying again. She said, "Would it be all right if I get saved right now?" And I told the church, I said, "I want you all to gather in." We hadn't even started. We hadn't sung a song yet. Hadn't sung a song. The church gathered in, and before Wanda prayed, she turned around, and I'll never forget what you said, Wanda. You may not remember it. The Lord was already doing a work in your heart. But she said, "I'm so sorry. I've embarrassed this church, and I've embarrassed the name of the Lord." She said, "I've been a phony." She said, "I've learned the words, and I've learned the songs," and said, "I have faked out the best of people." She said, "But driving down the road tonight, I made my mind up. Embarrassed or not, I'm going to get right with God." And she said, "I've been a hypocrite and I want you to forgive me. I'm sorry if I've done anything to bring reproach on any of you." And she started praying the sweetest prayer of forgiveness you ever heard. Next thing I know, she's shouting. By the time the smoke of the glory cloud clears, we haven't sung a song yet. I don't think we ever did get a congregational song fired off. We went for a solid hour and a half shouting and praising God. And down the aisle came another lady and said, "I'm just like her. I've been raised in church all my life. And I've been too embarrassed to say it. But preacher, if I died tonight, I wouldn't go to heaven. And I can't live that way. I need a born-again experience." I think there was 8 people saved that night. And I don't know how many others. They got recapped or recovered or whatever you want to call them. But they got the old-time fire down in their bones. I'm telling you, you can reach a place where you despise praise. But we can't do anything without God's presence and without God's power. And God's power will draw people or drive them. Where did David get the ephod? The priest was not allowed to go in to offer the sacrifice on the outer court, into the inner court, into the holiest of temples. Of the temple, holiest of holies, without the ephod. The linen garment. Fine linen. Where'd he get it? Doeg comes along. He kills 85 prophets. And takes their ephod. Their garment of praise. One man, Abiathar, escapes. And when he comes to David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, he's got the ephod in his hand. And said, "Look at what they've done." Now there's a problem with that. He had the ephod in his hand. The ephod came down over the chest and over the back, come together with gold clasp and ribbons of blue. All of that has meaning. But it was a garment of praise. The breastplate would cover that. The ephod was over his front, over his back. The ephod was over his heart. In the front and in the back. The stones on the breastplate, if you count them out, the stone of Judah was directly over the heart. What's Judah mean?
Praise.
No ephod over the heart. No praise over the heart. He had the ephod in his hand. He didn't have the ephod over his heart. Some of you come to church, unfortunately, thinking that your praise is like your glory rag. If things get stirred up, I'll get it up and shake it, maybe. I know who Bob Waves is, but I want to tell you something different about Bob Alexander. When his wife died, with a broken heart, he praised God. We don't love it when our loved ones go on. But I know one thing, there's still praise over our hearts. We can say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of you have come down here and you've got it in your hand, but you need it over your heart. You need a revival. Said, I don't want praise to be something that I do. I want my life to be covered with praise. I want to go home from this camp meeting and my congregation say, what happened to you, preacher, down there? You ought to come and say, I want to go home and I want my Sunday school class to say, what in the world's going on down there in the Smoky Mountains? Last week they had a big rod run in here. Next week they have a big gold wing. But I want to tell you, none of them, regardless of what they drink and what they do, none of them will enjoy nearly anything they do as much as what I've enjoyed this week right here. Coming together with folks from the north, south, east, and west. It's a little taste of heaven and what it's going to be like when we get inside the city of God. So you determine I'm going to have praise on my heart. And for you that are lost, is the Lord getting ready to call out your family in heaven and say on this Wednesday night, go get them. Go get them. I'm getting ready to write their name down in the book of life. Oh, Lord, we praise you. I don't have to understand you, Lord. I just love you and I praise you. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You've got giants. They may not have fallen yet, but go ahead and praise God anyway. You got lost family. Don't get discouraged. Come. A dear lady, I'm sure she's here in the crowd tonight, called me aside last night and she said, you may not remember. But I called you on the telephone one day. We were so discouraged. And my husband felt like that I wasn't going to be able to keep going. Just a real, real battle. Said, we talked. It was you. Bless your heart, honey. God does clean up the garbage, by the way. I wish we had more folks that praise God for doing house cleaning. And their life has changed. I think, brother, what they say you had Easter Sunday? 106 on Easter Sunday. That 106 to them was one of the biggest mountains they've overcome in a long time. And best of all, they felt the presence of God. Oh, I bless His sweet name.